Well, today we pick up our study of following Jesus and what that means. We've looked at the verbs Jesus used and when he said, follow me, and when he said, come follow me, the commitment of a disciple. We've looked at the word disciple. Now today we look at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 1 through 3. And now we begin to give some depth to those two verbs, follow and follow me, and then the noun disciple. So we're going to look deeper. So as we do this, I'd like to ask all of you this question. Would you say that you are in a good situation in your life? Think about it. Would you say that you are in a good situation in life? Now let's pray and look at that answer. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just praise you for your love and your grace and your mercy to us that are fresh in you each morning. Thank you for this day that you've given to us to honor you, to worship you, to come and sing praises to your name and to pray and to give thanks for your manifold blessings to us. And now to receive instruction from your word by your Holy Spirit. Enable each of us to focus on you and your word, that you would instruct us by your Spirit, give us understanding of your word this morning and how it applies particularly to each one of us personally. I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in their life and in their walk with you. And Father, I pray that those here today who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that they would come to know him. They too would be freed from the bondage of sin and death, freed from your condemnation, and experience personally in their hearts your love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. You know the need that we all have, and I ask that those needs be met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's start with the very first word, blessed or blessed. What does that word mean? The literal meaning of the word blessed is a recipient of divine favor. A recipient of divine favor. And so Jesus is making a declaration here. He's not saying you will be blessed, you might be blessed. He pronounces blessed. So it's blessed also has a meaning of joy and happiness, but our joy and happiness is based in our faith in Christ, not in our circumstances or not in our situation in life. If our happiness and our joy would be based on circumstances and situations in life, man, what a roller coaster we're on. Horrendous. You're talking tremendous mood swings here. We do have an emotional response to life in the situations we're in. I mean, God gave us emotions. So we do have an emotional response, but that does not need to be the basis of our true happiness and joy and peace. It's our faith in Christ. And so when we look at this word blessed, the recipient of divine favor, the bottom line is the answer to the question, would you say that in your life situation right now it's good? The answer should be yes, it is. Because my situation is in life is good because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it's good. Now, let's look at some scripture passages to really see this. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 16. John giving testimony about being a disciple of Christ and an eyewitness to His work and who He is. And look at what John says in chapter 1, verse 16. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. From all His fullness, His completeness, His running over, we all have received grace upon grace. Now, we all know the definition of grace is God's spontaneous favor upon His people. And He just continues to pour His grace upon us day in and day out. So, yeah, the situation you and I are in life right this very moment, and every part of life is a good situation. Let's go now to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. When Paul was writing to the believers at Philippi, he had this word in chapter 1, verse 6 to begin with, concerning God in them. And look what he says in verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. God has begun a good work in us when He begins by His Spirit to convict us of sin and to show us the sinfulness, as David was talking about, that we're all sinners. And then He shows us His divine and righteous and just and holy wrath on that sin. And then He shows us His Son, Jesus Christ, that He sent into the world to die for your sin and mine. And to convey to us, you trusted my Son alone, and you repent and ask for forgiveness of your sin, and you trust Him to forgive you, you're forgiven. You have eternal life. You will not experience my condemnation. Can't beat that. That's a good situation right there. And that's why we can say the situation I'm in my life right now is good, because God is working in me. He brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's given me salvation. And you know what? He's still working in every one of us here. Every one of His children, He continues to work in us. He doesn't save us and give us a pat on the back and say, good luck. He continues to work in us day in and day out by His Spirit. That is a good situation, that the true and living God abides in His children by His Holy Spirit and is working in us on a daily basis. And then, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, let's begin in verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Here's another biblical truth why in my life and your life right now, we're in a good situation. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Verses 26 and 27 give us instruction on the truth that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. You ever been in a situation in life where you didn't know how to pray? You wanted to pray and you cried out to God, but the words just didn't come. Well, the Holy Spirit takes over at that point, and He expresses the depth of your need and your heart and your mind to the Father through the Son. So whatever you and I are facing, whatever situation we are in, it's good because the Spirit of God lives in us. And the Son of God is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. You can't get any better than that. And because of that, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Even those things that look very bleak to us and very challenging and very difficult, we can biblically say, because of our faith, as hard as this is, it's going to be good, and it is good. And then we go to verse 29. For those He predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Every situation that God brings into your life and mine, He uses it to conform you and me to Jesus Christ. Nothing is left to luck. There is no chance. There is no fate. It's all in the hands of a sovereign God who is our Heavenly Father and has demonstrated His love to us by sending His Son into the world to die for our sins and be raised from the dead, and is ascended into heaven and seated at His right hand. And then, by the Spirit of God dwelling in us and pouring His love into us on a regular basis. You know, our situation in life is good. It really is. And that's why Jesus says, blessed. And every one of us who have Christ as our Savior, we're blessed because we have grace upon grace. Now, let's go to the next line. That word is pretty deep. Look at the next. Who are the blessed? Those poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Now, poor, when we see the word poor in our materialistic society, we have a tendency to think those who do not have anything material-wise or have very little. But the word poor is defined by the prepositional phrase, poor in spirit. And that prepositional phrase means you personally. So, am I a person that is poor in spirit? Am I really? So let's define poor in spirit biblically as well. First of all, poor in spirit means one who acknowledges his or her true spiritual condition. One who acknowledges his or her true spiritual condition. Now we need to go to the book of Ephesians for this one. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. Ephesians 2:1. Now, for those of us who are believers in Christ, there was a time that Ephesians 2:1 defines our spiritual condition. Look at Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So there was a time when we were all dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually bankrupt. Well, we're worse than that. We were dead. No ability to understand God. No ability to turn to Him. And then by His grace, we go to verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nobody can save themselves. You're spiritually dead. And God's grace, His love through Christ, applied to us by the Spirit of God, brought us to spiritual life, freed us from the bondage of sin and death. And so we see the first thing of understanding our spiritual poverty is just realizing the depth of that poverty, which is death, spiritual death, and the inability to get out of it. No way we could get out of it. And then God, by His grace and mercy and love, brought us out of it. Not by our own efforts, but purely it's a gift from God. And it's good to stop and think where we have come from. You ever do that anyway? You ever have a time in your life where you stop and think and look where I was born and look how I was raised and what I circumstances and look what God's given to me now? Oh my goodness, I don't deserve this. God is so gracious. And most of the time it's material. But we need to think spiritually more often. I was dead. I was an object of God's wrath. And He took me out of that. Oh my, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, let's go to John 15:5. John 15:5. John is teaching here. Jesus is teaching in John 15 about being in Christ and Christ being the vine and we are the branches. And this is in the upper room prior to Jesus' arrest and betrayal and crucifixion. And look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Do we really realize that apart from Christ, we can't do a thing spiritually that is acceptable to God? Oh, we can do a lot of good works. But to be able to bear spiritual fruit that's pleasing and honoring to God, we do not have that ability apart from Christ. And whatever spiritual fruit that you and I have is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. What does it say in Galatians chapter 5? The fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit working in us that bears that fruit that's honoring to God. And if you want to look at the fruit of the flesh, instead of looking at 5:20-22, look at 5:18-19 of Galatians. And you see what the flesh is. It's all sin and ungodliness. We're good at that. But we're getting better at the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit of God working in us, producing that spiritual fruit that is honoring to God and good for each and every one of us. So we have here, to be poor in spirit, we need to realize just how much we are dependent on God for everything that would be pleasing to Him. Everything in life, we're totally dependent upon Him. We were raised to think you can do this. You pull yourself up. You can do this on your own. No, we can't. It's Christ in us, the Spirit in us, enabling us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So the poor in spirit acknowledges the spiritual poverty, the spiritual need, which is total dependence upon the true and living God. Now, let's look at the next one. The next meaning of being poor in spirit, it means the pride has been broken. The pride has been broken. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." Oh my goodness. This individual that Jesus has described in this parable is self-righteous, full of pride and arrogance, thinking he knows everything, he can do everything. And he lives at the foot of the cross. That's pretty sad. But there are some who profess Christ who are like that. Now let's look at the tax collector. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Realizing in the depths of our hearts, without Christ, I'm nothing. Being honest with ourselves, where is it in my life that I am very prideful? Where is it in my life that I have dethroned Christ and enthroned myself? Where is it that I'm calling the shots, that I think too highly of myself? I'm looking down my holy nose at those around me that I don't think are spiritual. Look what Jesus says about them in 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." My goodness, that's what it takes. To be continuously focused on Christ, which helps me to realize who He is and who I am. And that's humility. The pride has been broken. The best Christian is not the Christian who knows it all. Is not the Christian who prays three or four times a day and gives to the needy and does all this stuff. The best Christians that I know and I have met are broken ones. And it hurts to be broken but it's the best thing that could happen to any of us, that Christ would break us of our self-righteousness, of our arrogance and our pride, to cause us to realize just how much we need and need to depend on our Savior, Jesus Christ, for everything in life. The next aspect of being poor in spirit, it's not weakness of character. It's not weakness of character, but it hinges on a person's personal relationship with Christ. And what I mean by personal relationship, you're a believer in Christ, it's your daily walk with the Lord. It's your daily relationship with the Lord that is that this part. It's not that you and I are weak because we're Christians and Christ is our crutch. No, He's not my crutch. He's my bed. He's my seat. He's everything that I need. And so we look here at the condition of our heart. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession of sin and repentance after he had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and then the baby was born, and the baby lived just a short time, and the baby died. And this is David's prayer. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I would encourage you to read it. But I want us to look at Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. David is praying to God, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I have offended you, that I have sinned against you. I have trespassed you and your word, your holiness. I am so sorry. I have usurped your authority. I'm sorry, Lord, that in my actions and in my words, I have been such a poor testimony that I'm in control and I can do everything and I can do anything. I don't need you, Lord. I'm so sorry I've come across like that. You see, God's not interested in ceremonies. He's not interested in confessions of faith if all we do is read them from the mind. He's interested in a broken heart, a heart of humility that genuinely acknowledges who He is, who I am, and how much I need Him every day and every moment in my life. That's someone who is poor in spirit. That's what it means to be broken. This is what God wants and will accept. A contrite heart. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 as God, through Isaiah, reveals to us the one He looks upon. It's the one who trembles at the word of God. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who is humble. We've looked at that. He who has a contrite spirit. We've looked at that. Now let's look. Do I tremble at the word of God? Do I tremble when I read His word and see my sin? See His glory and His majesty? Do I really know Him scripturally? There's so much information that is really wrong about God. We have these preachers who are just about a 32nd of an inch off. They're not very deep. And people come, and I don't call it worship, it's entertainment. They never delve into the meat of the Word of God to see who He really is. It's to stay on this level up here where we're happy and we're praising God. And the waves of life come, and where are your roots? They're in your emotions, and so we crash. But if your spiritual roots are in Christ, strengthened by the Spirit of God and deep into His Word, then you tremble. And you can tremble, and I can tremble in a trembling and fear of respect and awe of who God is. It just amazes me when I first went in the Air Force and did a little flying to look at this world. Not even the universe and everything it created, but to look at the world and be 30,000 feet up and see these little cars going here, these little bitty people in those cars. And God loved those people so much He sent His Son to die for us. Oh, what love! And then the infinite has revealed Himself to the finite that we may know Him and love Him and walk with Him and depend on Him and honor Him. And then we walk around and never tremble at the Word of God. On the news we hear all these people protesting about everything. And I'm weary, but I think, God, what is your take on this? The psalm said, He sits on His throne in heaven, He's laughing at them. They think they're hot stuff. The day will come when they will stand before God, and it's going to be so sad. I don't rejoice in that at all, but it's going to be so sad when they face the true and living God and they see who He really is. We're all going to face Him, by the way. We all realize that. The day will come when we will face God, and I'm just thankful for His grace, because He's going to say, Richard, what in the world were you thinking? I'm sorry, Lord, I wasn't. No excuses there. I'm not going to plead anything but the grace of His Son and His grace. But that's all I can do, and that's all you can do. But we can experience it here. We tremble at the Word of God. You all are so faithful to be here at worship and want and allow me to teach you God's Word. And it's the Spirit of God that's doing the teaching. But it's so encouraging to me as a pastor to have the vast majority of you here wanting to hear the Word. And those who return on Sunday afternoon to hear Hunter, you want to hear the Word. And then our Wednesday night group and the Thursday morning men's Bible study. Every opportunity we take advantage of because we want to hear the Word of God. If you didn't love Him and didn't love His Word, you wouldn't be here. Or you would find a church that would just tickle your ears. And those of you who are live streaming, it's great to have you with us too. We need to tremble at the Word of God. Tremble in a sense of awe of who He is. And then He loves me? Yeah, He really does. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Jesus, in the 6th chapter of John, does some real, real challenging teaching when He says, "I am the bread of life." And He expounds on that. And He gets to the end and He's talking about, "Unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you will not have life." And it just really, really offends a lot of people that were listening to Him. And it offended them so badly that some turned and, "I can't take this anymore. I am out of here. I'm gone." And look at John chapter 6. And look at verse 66. "After this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered Him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God.'" There's fear and respect. "You have come to know. I have come to know." There's no one else that has words of eternal life. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay steadfast on the faith that You've given us and how You work in us. To be poor in spirit is to tremble at the Word of God and not to turn from it. It's to have a broken and contrite heart. What is the result of being blessed? The poor in spirit say they're blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at that last line. Oh, what a promise we have. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at the verb "is." It's present tense. It means the kingdom of heaven is mine now. You realize that? You know, we're always joking about the uncle that dies. I've had some uncles die, but they were spiritually blessed, you know. Where my ship comes in, that thing always gets torpedoed before it gets into the dock. So do we stop and think about the kingdom of heaven is mine? The kingdom of heaven is mine? The fact that it's kingdom of heaven means divine origin. And because you and I, who trust in Christ alone for salvation, we're heirs. Oh, what an inheritance! What an inheritance. Read Revelation chapters 21 and 22 if you want to know what your inheritance is like. A new heaven and a new earth for eternity? Whoa, bring it on. And it's yours now. It's mine now. And we experience a little bit of heaven on earth every Lord's Day when we gather to worship. Every time we fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, we experience a little bit of that inheritance. But the day will come and we'll get it full blown. And there'll be no more separation. Oh, thank You, Lord. You have it. I have it. In the meantime, Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The spiritual blessings originate from heaven. They always originate from heaven because they come from God through Christ by the Spirit of God. You can't go to Lowe's and get them. It hurts my heart to say that. But you can't get it at Lowe's, Home Depot, or any store. You can't go online. You go to the true and living God. And you and I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because they're free. Christ has paid the price that we may have those. They are ours, day in and day out, and again to be fully realized when we get to heaven. But you have to be poor in spirit to get them. That means you've got to realize your spiritual need of Christ for salvation, sanctification, justification, glorification. It's all about Christ. Now, are we poor in spirit? Are we poor in spirit? Where is it that I need to examine my heart as a believer in Christ to see where I'm poor in spirit and where I'm not? And correct where I'm not. But am I a believer in Christ? Am I just a church member, or do I attend church periodically? Do I know Jesus as my personal Savior? That's where we begin. You become poor in spirit at that point. And the longer we grow in Christ, the more we grow in Christ, we become even more poor in spirit. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for our time of studying your word. Thank you so much for what you have instructed us by your spirit from your word today. Wherever we're not poor in spirit, Father, I pray you'll show that to us. I pray that you'll reveal yourself in a deeper way that we may truly be poor in spirit in every area of our lives. That you would be honored. We would be spiritually refreshed and renewed and strengthened. Lord, speak to our hearts as we sing this closing hymn, that those lost in Christ may come to know him. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.